AIGs.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. Anger over the payment of millions in bonuses at American International Group is being pointed at U.S. Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner this morning. Richard Shelby, the top Republican on the Senate Banking Committee, stopped short of calling for Geithner's resignation during an interview with the early show on CBS.
Where was the Secretary of the Treasury? Where was Treasury before this money was paid out? A lot of money, $165 million, a lot more supposed to be paid out in the future.
AIG has received more than $170 billion in government rescue money. We're joined now by University of Maryland economist Peter Morici. Professor, you've been critical of the Treasury Secretary as well. Why?
Bonuses have been a repeated problem, published in the Wall Street Journal, in successive bailouts at AIG. Something should have been put in place to basically bring these traders into line with everyone else.
Was there willingness to negotiate?
We have no idea because Timothy Geithner didn't ask them to do that.
How are you certain that the Treasury Secretary did not attempt to negotiate with AIG on these bonuses?
Well, no one can be certain of that. However, he doesn't need to negotiate. He could have imposed it. Quite frankly, the federal government imposed a renegotiation of the labor contracts at General Motors and Chrysler, and it could have imposed it at AIG. It was employment contracts in both places. You know, it's up to Secretary Geithner to defend his conduct.
And at this point, have you heard what you want to hear?
No, we haven't. He hasn't defended his conduct adequately. All we hear from the administration is they're going to try to do something about it now that the milk is spilled.
And to be fair, AIG was initially bailed out under a previous administration.
But Timothy Geithner was president of the New York Federal Reserve and part of the team that put in place the bailout. He was very instrumental in the bailout of AIG and of Citigroup. That is why he's in the job. We wanted continuity, according to the president.
Peter Morici, economist at the University of Maryland, thank you.
You're welcome.
Here's a rare dose of good news for the recession-hit economy and fractured housing market. Construction on new homes unexpectedly rebounded in February, surging 22%. That was the first increase since April last year. We also just learned wholesale prices edged up a tiny 0.1% last month. A big drop in food prices offset a second monthly increase in energy costs. Futures on Wall Street are mixed after that data. The Dow dropped 7 points or 0.1% yesterday to 72.16. Major Asian markets were higher today, and shares in Europe remain lower at this hour. U.S. Fed policymakers start their latest two-day meeting today. They've already fiddled with short-term interest rates for banks. The rates are essentially zero. So the Fed is considering a more drastic move. Jill Barchet has more.
The Fed controls interest rates by buying and selling short-term Treasury bills. Tim Dewey is an economist and Fed watcher at the University of Oregon. He says there's new talk the Fed will buy longer-term Treasuries, such as five-year notes. That could make it cheaper for everyone to borrow money, not just banks. But there's a big risk.
There's some possibility that we lose control of the situation and pump too much money in and actually trigger an inflationary episode.
The talk comes after the Bank of England started buying up its government bonds last week. Long-term rates have fallen in the UK.
And so now people are thinking, well, the Bank of England just did this. Is it the Fed's turn?
Not right away, says Dewey. He says buying longer-term treasuries is a bit like firing an unguided missile. He says the Fed won't push that button unless the economy goes into free fall. In New York, I'm Jill Barchet for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Microsoft, providing people-ready enterprise solutions, software based on how people really work.
About $70 billion of the new stimulus package will be spent on renewable energy, energy efficiency, and other green initiatives. On a micro level, many Americans are already working green ideas into their lives. But there are people that aren't ready or even able to dump a car for a bike, or just can't deal with the glare from a compact fluorescent. Ashley Milne-Tite has this look at how marketers are trying to sell the idea of being green to those not fully converted.
Scientific evidence may show the planet is in trouble, but dire warnings aren't the way to go.
Using negative messages can have sometimes a very negative effect on us.
Chaim Manu is a professor of marketing at the University of Missouri, St. Louis.
For example, if we see a message that invokes notions of fear, very often many of us will completely ignore that message.
To get people to pay attention, Hugh Huff says you have to convince them they can benefit by changing their behavior. He's president of ad agency Green Team USA.
So, for example, it's not about being green to be green or saving the planet or whatever. If you buy this, it's going to save you this much money in this amount of time.
Take this ad from IBM, where a skeptical manager asks an underling why he should accept her so-called green plan.
See, the folks that I report to, they don't eat granola. So let me ask you, why would I sign this?
This plan could cut our energy costs by 40%.
Sure enough, he's instantly converted. Then there's Don't Mess with Texas. It started as an anti-littering campaign in the mid-80s. The slogan was aimed at young men, who were then the biggest beer can-throwing, cigarette-dropping culprits. Roadside trash fell by 29% within a year. Hank Stewart of Green Team USA says Don't Mess with Texas worked because it appealed to Texans' pride in their home state.
So if you wanted to make a similar success story in the environment, you would have to identify the values that are important to the audience that you want to talk to, whether it's saving money, whether it's a safer world for your kids.
But what if companies or government framed using less energy as a patriotic act, the way Texas framed cutting down on litter? Marketing professor Chaim Manu says that approach could backfire. He says driving everywhere, shopping, and cranking up the AC.
These are parts of Americana. This is part of the American culture.
He says if you imply those activities are unpatriotic, you could alienate the people you're trying to reach. So you need to keep the message inclusive and upbeat, even if what's behind the message is pretty depressing. I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
In Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. Have a nice Tuesday. American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.